Welcome to the online study of Proverbs. Last time we did a sort of introduction looking at what we'll find in the book of Proverbs. And of course that is wisdom. So then we had to define what wisdom is. And we saw that the book itself and other places in the Bible's wisdom literature call wisdom essentially the fear of God. And the fear of God is simply living in the constant awareness of who God is and who we are, knowing our place before Him. And then we looked at the problem with wisdom, and that is nobody wants it. We saw that in Job chapter 28, another one of the wisdom books. No one wants wisdom. And Job will tell us that the reason is no one wants who wisdom is. No one wants the source of wisdom. And then we explore the fact that the book of Proverbs has objectives that are stated right at the beginning of the book. And those objectives, in essence, are that Solomon endeavors to provoke us, with thought, with gems of thought, with almost in-your-face statements about how to live life in the fear of God. And we can boil those down, as we did last time, to seeking truth and obeying truth. Well, to the text, Proverbs chapter 1. And I want to read those first six verses again. And actually, we should go ahead and read 7. Here we go. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So last time we saw that verse 7, that thing about the fear of the Lord being the first part or the greater part or the essence, even the prerequisite of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is required before you can have wisdom. And we saw that last time. Now, I want to draw your attention to the audience, which is described in the first six verses. And actually, only two of them are described there. There are actually three audiences, three people to whom Solomon is writing. And we see the first one in verse 4, to give prudence to the naive. Look also, he says, to the youth. So the naive, or the youth. And the naive, or the youth, well, we'll come back to him. He's one of the three, and we'll come back to him. Now, look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Well, who's that? Well, the next line tells us, and a man of understanding. That is, someone who has embraced God's truth. Someone who's embraced Jesus Christ. That's the wise person. And then a little bit later on, we will see the fool. And you can see that even here in this first chapter, you can see it way down in verse 22. At the end of 22, it says, "Fools hate knowledge." And that's a pretty good description already, without even expanding it. So let's look at them in turn, wise and fool and naive, all right? The wise person. We see the wise person spoken of in Proverbs. Also, what the wise person is all about, that is, he's teachable, he has wisdom, he understands, he's instructable. We see that 227 times in this book, in 31 chapters. And in fact, 22 times just in the first chapter. There's just in this first one chapter, 22 times we'll see him referred to. Who's the wise? He's the God-chooser. He's chosen God. That means he subjects himself to God. He internalizes wisdom. Do you know there's no chapter in all these 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs, there's not a single chapter that does not mention the wise man and his wisdom. So he's the God-chooser, the one who subjects himself. I would call, in one word, I would call him unwavering. Unwavering. What about the fool? The fool has chosen himself. He's the self-chooser. Proverbs tells us over and over and over again that he's self-wise and that he hates wisdom. Look down at verse 22 again. Fools hate knowledge. He's self-wise, he hates knowledge, he's God's enemy, God's opponent. He's not neutral. He's not, you know, in the middle of deciding for or against God. He has decided against God. He's impulsively sinful, Proverbs tells us. He's lacking sense, Proverbs tells us. He's unteachable. In fact, we hear more about the fool in certain chapters, but altogether in this book, 82 times. Folly, foolishness, and fool. 82 times. Now, mind you, the fool isn't just someone we don't like. The fool isn't just that aggravating neighbor or that, troublesome coworker. The fool is a God-hater and a self-chooser. And I would give one word as a definition for him, and that is unsubmitting. So the wise was unwavering, and the fool is unsubmitting. Now, what about the naive? The naive here in the book of Proverbs, we'll hear about him 16 times. Not very many compared to the other two, wise and fool, huh? 16 times. And what we're going to find is he's also described as youth. And we saw that already. Verse 4, chapter 1, to the youth. He says, prudence to the naive, and to the youth, knowledge and discretion. He's called youth, which essentially means immature, impressionable. And later on we'll see that he's described as lacking sense. So the naive is someone who's easily enticed and persuaded and deceived and flattered and really exploitable. And the interesting thing about the naive is we hear most about him in the first 9 chapters of this book, which should tell you something. Solomon begins the book trying to reach the one who has yet to decide. He has yet to choose. He hasn't chosen anything. He hasn't chosen God, and he hasn't chosen himself. He's just sort of going along, kind of in a Pollyanna way, not really aware. And there are only 3 chapters in this book, only 3, that do not mention the naive. For one word for him, to describe him, I would call it unprincipled. Unprincipled. So the wise was unwavering, the fool is unsubmitting, and the naive is unprincipled. This is the one who still has a chance to choose. He hasn't, you know, hardened his heart. He hasn't made his neck stiff. Those are both terms from Scripture. He hasn't sealed his fate. He hasn't chosen the wrong way and is, you know, dead set in it. Of course, even that person is redeemable on this side of eternity. But the naive is just that one going along, and again, mostly he's young. And don't we see that in youth today? Don't we see that in gangs and in, you know, just the foolish things that very young people gravitate toward? Yeah, Scripture is very clear and very honest and very, very, very timely on this particular subject. So that's the audience. And there's actually a fourth person that's addressed, a fourth attitude. And we'll see that when we get there. But that would be the prudent or prudence, you know. And all that means is someone who is the naive who's already taken steps toward God. He hasn't chosen God, but he's leaning that direction. And we'll see that as we get there. But generally there are three. Think of it more as three. Three people who are the audience. Now, an outline of Proverbs. And this is important because I don't want you to think that Proverbs is this, you know, like opening a dictionary or trying to read a phone book. Many people think that way, and it's not that way. There's actually themes and flow to the book of Proverbs. And I want to suggest to you, every Bible teacher has a little different take on this, and here's mine. Which, by the way, I did borrow pretty heavily from J. Vernon McGee, the saintly and famous and venerable preacher of a bygone time. What I see is six divisions in this book. The first seven chapters are Solomon's almost a primer. Let's call it Solomon's primer on the stages of life in the young man. Now, he's not leaving women out here. It's just that that's, you know, in ancient times, the word man was used to really represent all of mankind, okay? But it's going to be especially applicable to young men, as you'll see, because the idea of adultery and fornication comes up pretty often in this book. It's a recurring theme, and that is especially a problem for young men. So the first seven chapters are Solomon's primer for youth, and each chapter almost has a different stage. The first stage, chapter one, is actually speaking to the youth who's so young. He's probably still in his home, which would be, you know, with his family, his parents. And that, today, we'd probably call it a teenager. So chapter one is the teenager. Chapter two is targeting the young man who has left the home for the first time, out on his own. And, of course, he's still very young. He might be 17, 18, 19, 20, you know. Newly out on his own. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3 of Proverbs gives every indication to being targeted toward the young man who not only has gone out on his own, but now he's working hard to establish himself in his career, in his avocation, his vocation and his avocation and all that, you know, making his way, making his way in the world. And then chapter 4 is actually addressed to the young family man, the father in the home, the young father. And we know that because Solomon couches much of what he exhorts this person to do in chapter 4. He couches much of his language in the language of a father. He's saying, remember how your father was. You are now a father, and you have an opportunity to carry on the mantle of being a father, and remember what your father was like. And then lastly, chapters 5 through 7, so that's three chapters altogether, 5, 6, and 7, that is characterized, that section, 5 through 7, is characterized very heavily by avoiding the sin and avoiding the failures and the sin that the young man who now is established in his career and he has a little bit of discretionary income and discretionary time and he's been in his marriage for a while, and what's he doing? He's looking around. You know this happens. Those three chapters have the most content about adultery than any part of Proverbs. And this is the man who shouldn't be, but he is, thinking about other women. Now, not all of these three chapters are all about that. One of them is, of the three, but even the other two are heavily biased toward the young man who, you know, let's say he's in his late 20s, early 30s, and he is, what is his temptation? His temptation, now that he's got a level of comfort and a level of stability, you know, in his home life and in his career, now he's susceptible. Now he's susceptible. And Solomon deals with that. So that's chapters 1 through 7. And then, chapters 8 and 9, Solomon leaves that particular track and gets on another track, and that track is essentially giving advice to all of these groups at once. All of these five groups I've just mentioned in chapters 1 through 7, he's giving them all together advice that's appropriate for all of them. And I'm calling that Solomon's pleas, his exhortations, his pleadings, Solomon's pleas to youth. And that's broken into a few parts. And it really talks a lot about wisdom. Chapters 8 and 9 have a lot to say about wisdom. What it is, what the good of it is. In fact, that's pretty much defines chapters 8 and 9 is how practical wisdom is for the young man to embrace and to practice. So, chapters 1 through 7, the primer of stages of life for the young man. And chapters 8 and 9, Solomon's pleas to the young man in a general way. All right. The next section, which is the largest of all, makes up most of the book, and it's right in the middle of the book. And it's the part that's the hardest to read, because this is the part that gave Proverbs the bad rap that it gets. And that is, this is the part that's sort of granular, you know, sort of a lot of statements run together with a lot of apparent cohesiveness. And to be truthful, that's mostly true. However, we will try to find some context. And there is some context, there is some flow, even in this section. But this section is, I'm going to call it Solomon's Commentary on Life. And in some ways, it reads a lot like Ecclesiastes. It reads a lot like Ecclesiastes. And what we have in this section, chapters 10 through 24, is we have about 200 proverbs. And those proverbs take seven, you can break them into seven categories. And they are sin, righteousness, fearing God, industry, that is work and effort, family, speech, and leadership. Chapters 10 through 24. Solomon's Commentary on Life. And then the next section, section 4, I'm going to call Solomon's Proverbs Outtakes. Yes, outtakes. The book itself says so. It says that these are proverbs which Solomon decided not to include, but which 200 years later, very similar to how the Psalms were put together, by the way, about 200 years later, King Hezekiah and some of his team, his people, assembled some proverbs that are added to the book in addition to the ones that Solomon put together himself. And these chapters 25 to 29, this is essentially three subjects: righteousness and speech, fearing God, and sin and pride. Okay? Chapters 25 to 29, Solomon's Proverbs Outtakes. Well, that takes us to the fifth section, which is chapter 30. And chapter 30 is a one chapter, one man section. And that is this is someone named Agur. I don't know who he was. I'm not sure many people do. And we're calling this the Oracle, which the book itself calls it, the Oracle of Agur. And we don't know who Agur was, but we have two things going on in chapter 30. And that is, he describes himself for four verses. And then for the rest of that chapter, he comments on wisdom in a very prosaic way. It's kind of a poem. And he groups his statements in threes and fours. In threes and fours. In fact, he'll say, three things are such and such, maybe even four. That's him. I'm quoting him. Three things are, you know, very, very stately in their walk. And even four. See, he says that. That's an old ancient tool, an old ancient technique of emphasizing and of you know, provoking interest. So that's the Oracle of Agur, one chapter, chapter 30, and basically two pieces to that. And then lastly, the sixth section, which is chapter 31, somewhat famous, particularly among women, because it has it speaks of the godly woman. And this traditionally has been known, it doesn't say so in the text, but this traditionally has been known throughout the church and of course beginning with the Jews' own tradition as the Proverbs of Bathsheba, who of course was the mother of Solomon. And what Bathsheba does here is she talks about two things. The first thing she does is describe the godly king, which of course Solomon was. She describes the godly king, and she basically gives she's exhorting the king to be godly, to stay godly, to do his kingly, you know, work and position in a godly way. And then after that, she talks about the wife that she would like Solomon to marry. So the first part of chapter 31 is Bathsheba saying, well, this is the way the godly king should act. And then the second part, this is the kind of wife the godly king should take. And that is the Book of Proverbs in an outline form. And we will see how that flows. We'll see how that goes. And I hope that this garners some interest for you. So next time we'll jump right in and see what Proverbs has to say to us. In the meantime, believe God.